to whether we should lock the door or not.
Do you want the door shutting?
We could yes, find, please. We couldn't find the key, could we?
Keep the draft down.
He's very good, isn't he?
Yeah, I know.
Well trained.
The only reason you invite me, isn't it?
Well, obviously, it's a shame we don't have anything to do with wages or stuff now.
Right then, good evening, colleagues, and welcome to this meeting of Audit and Accounts Committee meeting on the 21st of March. Can I welcome you all to the meeting? And let's get started. We've got Stephen here, our Chief Internal Auditor and Risk Manager. And can I ask you then, please, to take us through the items in the programme, please?
Sorry, Chairman, before we do that, would you mind seeking approval of the minutes of the last meeting?
Approved, Madam Chairman.
Yeah. Right, is that agreed?
Yep.
Right, show of hands, in case some of you don't agree. Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Right, do we have any apologies, or are you all here?
All present, Chairman.
All present and correct. Thank right, you. So we're then on to item 3 on the agenda, the officer's reports. And item number 3A, please, Stephen.
Okay, thank you, Chair. This is the update report on progress of the work of internal audit up until the 28th of February. So it's a summary of what we've done, specifically updating you on everything since the last report, which I believe took us up to October. I won't dwell on the first couple of pages, but the table on page 4 of the agenda just gives a summary of the audits that we have issued in the period. So we've given 5 substantial, 2 partial assurance and 1 limited, and there's more detail about those in the table over the page at appendix 2. Before we get to appendix 2, I'll just briefly go through the performance management information that we've got on there for the committee on page 7 of the agenda. We're actually in quite a strong position at the moment as internal audits. If you look at the top table, it shows that we're on track to do 109% there. That looks odd, but the main reason for that is the hangover of audits from the previous year. If you remember, we had got quite a few things that we hadn't managed to achieve. So we do count them as completed in this year, so it could bump our performance up over 100%. So although it looks odd, it is understandable when you take that into account. And then the table below just gives you a summary of the number of audits by assurance level in the year to date. So moving on to appendix 2, which gives you more detail, and really I'd probably draw members' attention to the first one there, the IT third party supplier management and external data sharing, which we have given a limited assurance on. And then there's 2 partial assurances. In terms of the IT audit that we've given limited assurance on, that is around some of the policy compliance, particularly around data protection impact assessments, and also advice for officers on when we should be getting data sharing agreements with contractors and suppliers where we do share third-party data. And one of the things that we've suggested as well to help ensure that they have that oversight is that we try and get a more detailed and complete record of IT contracts that we have in place, because lots of departments have IT systems, lots of departments will have moving towards more cloud-based systems, so there's more and more of our data actually being shared just by the fact that we're running contracts and software out there. The 2 partial assurances are on section 106, monitoring and delivery, and just over the page on development management. So there is a brief summary of the main points we've found there. I will say, in terms of section 106, we picked this up just after a lot of work had been done by officers to revise the procedures, so there's possibly some hangover there still of things that will be picked up in the new procedures and improving it. And I think by the time we'd finished the audit, we were seeing quite a lot of improvement in that area as well, because I believe some of the scrutiny committees and things had already looked into section 106 spending and raised some awareness of that. So a lot of work was done in that area with the officers as well. And then development management, again, a few key areas in there around sort of just making sure procedure notes are up to date, and we had got things like validation checklists and making sure decision notices are issued within time. I'm not going to dwell on anything else in terms of the audits we've issued, because we've given those all substantial assurance, but there is the list there in terms of what we have given. And as, other than, I suppose, I will draw members' attention to the last one on page 10, where we have given the IT health check and IT assurance a substantial opinion, which is good for IT, as members of this committee will
quite often. First.
We're not often giving them substantial assurance, but that's really the piece of work around making sure we have things like the penetration testing, our firewalls are tested, so that we have got that secure network. So it is something good for members to see that they are doing that very well in terms of the controls that we tested to make sure that we have got a secure network. And as I say, with the track record of IT, it's worth pulling that out.
Could I ask a question on section 106 monitoring, please?
Yes.
Your last comment is that there was a potential for funds being lost to the council. Have you any estimate for what you think that, what is at risk?
I can't say off the top of my head, and I know it will have changed since this audit was done as well. As I said, there was a lot of work with officers, with Tim Willis, Chris's predecessor, running an internal officer group to change procedures and to look at those amounts that we had that were becoming vulnerable, and a lot of work was done to try and improve those procedures and pick it up. So I can't give you a current figure. I don't know, say if the portfolio holder or Chris may have a view.
I'll come to Ian. Ian, I was actually going to go through once Stephen had finished. But Ian.
I have a question that in a way is related to Mike's, and that is to understand better the process. Once you've published these reports, you know, who do they go to? What action takes place?
So in terms of the audit reports, they are discussed initially with a service manager where we're making our recommendations. They then will be issued as a final with the agreed action plan to the relevant head of service. And where necessary, we would then copy other people in. So sometimes if there's financial findings, we will copy them to Section 151 officer or monitoring officer or other relevant managers. So we would then leave the department some time to work on those actions, and we would go back normally around about 6 months to follow up on the actions and give them compliance, see how far they've gone. And the results of those follow-ups are brought back to committee as well. So anything where we haven't given a substantial assurance, so if it's less than substantial, we will do a follow-up and we will report that back to the head of service, and a summary will come back to this committee.
Okay, that the last bit was what I was getting at. I don't recall seeing that in the past, which is probably my failure.
Seeing what?
Seeing a follow-up to the reports, for example, the Section 106 report. As far as I'm concerned, this goes back to management. One assumes it's being actioned, great, but there's no comfort that I have that we know that it's actually being effectively dealt with. That's what I'm trying to say. I think Steve's saying it does come back, in which case I must have missed it.
Yeah.
Because I don't recall it.
Yeah, if I may, through you, Chair, there is a follow-up on Appendix 4 of the agenda on the summary report today. So that is what members will get in terms of follow-up. So that Appendix 4 of the update reports, where we've done follow-ups, we will give you a comment and tell you whether audits have improved. And really what we say with that is, if it comes through a couple of times, if we've done two follow-ups and it still hasn't got improved enough to give it a substantial assurance, we would then perhaps be asking this committee to consider if they wanted to call a head of service or manager in to explain themselves. There may be reasons why it hasn't improved, but that's the point where really the committee can step in.
Yeah, okay, thanks Steve. Thanks.
I had made a note of that as well. Mike, you had...
Yes, I wanted to comment on the 106 report. Specifically, the question that was asked was, have we got any unspent funds which we could lose? Now, I was a cabinet member for 16 years, and it's 20 years since I've known about 106. And in fact, I raised this issue that we were not controlling it well enough in my early days. And I raised it with Jim Arnold, and he said there was one case where we nearly had to pay the money back, but we didn't. And we never have had to. And the work that the Task and Finish group did not so long ago said that there was we were nowhere near having to give any money back. The thing about 106 agreements, it's a complicated system, because the job starts with a planning application.
Yeah.
And somebody in the planning department, used to be the leisure department, would say how much they required for a play area or whatever, or a swimming pool or whatever. And that would go to the planners. And the planners would then approach the developer, and the developer would say, I can't afford that. Mm. And there would be a negotiation, what have you. Yeah. And there would be a legal agreement written by the legal department. Mm-hmm. So you've got legal department, you've got the planning department, you have the leisure department, all involved.
Yeah.
And then you've got to decide what the trigger point is. And the trigger point might be when you've built half the houses or a quarter of the houses. So you've got to inspect what's going on. And it takes a lot of effort and interdepartmental stuff. And when I was asked about it many years ago, we actually got somebody appointed. You might remember a guy called Joe Scully.
That's right.
After him, there was a guy called Roger someone. I can't remember his surname. Mm-hmm. But then it seemed to die away.
Yeah.
And we got into a bit of trouble.
Joe Scully did a good job.
Oh, sorry?
Joe Scully did a good job.
He did, yeah. There was a guy called Roger, somebody after that. I don't want to say Bradley, but it wasn't. I think he began with B. Anyway, then it seemed to die away, and we recognised more recently that there was an issue, and people have been appointed to monitor it now.
Yeah.
I think when you go back, you'll find everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah.
We're well in control of it now.
Yeah. But I'd like to come back there. I'm coming to you in a moment, Calvin. But I want you to come back where you said about it was monitored. We had a working group, and that was, you know, resources, was it that did that?
I think it came through resources, but I think it didn't end up with planning regeneration.
Yeah, it went through.
But I wasn't aware then that piece of work was actually completed. That is the investigation into the 106 money. I thought that was... I know that the task force that was set up did begin to look at that, and they did actually make a partial report back. But I thought that work was still ongoing.
Well, it's a continual process, of course. As far as I remember, it was Councillor McCune who was...
That's right, he was instrumental in that.
Yeah. I do remember reporting back at one committee, and he was satisfied. But you may be right, there may be...
I thought it was a work in progress.
It always will be, because it's a monitoring process.
Yes, yes. Mm. But then that would be up to that particular committee, wouldn't it? It would be up to... As you see, either development or...
I think it's resources. Development to run it now. Yeah, planning regeneration, that department. Am I right now? The monitor, yeah.
But, Stephen, what can we do then about this?
In terms of the scrutiny of the Section 106 spending, that is a matter for the relevant scrutiny committee to hold Cabinet to account and to hold the processes to account. In terms of what we're reporting on, I actually sat on that working group that was discussing this to feed in from an audit viewpoint. So I know that the officer group did conclude its work and did put a revised process in place, which built up quite a lot of checks and balances in there. So that it wasn't... part of it was done once a year by a physical check of all the 106s. Mm-hmm. It's now more of an ongoing process and... ongoing checks and cross checks with the legal records of what agreements have been signed against planning consents that have been issued where there's 106. Mm. So there's a couple of routes where things are coming in, and then the team under Alex Yendall actually coordinate it all and have a monitoring role.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also oversees the what was the the office is in, yeah. formerly in Leisure, who look after parks and open spaces projects, which are a big spender of that.
Yeah.
So that piece of work has been done, a new process has been set up. And as I say, things have improved drastically and will continue to improve. But as I say, unfortunately, I can't give you an exact figure of what we were talking about at the moment. It is just that cabinet members are there, and it's about allocating to schemes and making sure schemes come through, because quite often schemes can be given money and then there's slippage and other things, and it becomes a bit of a balancing act between spending the money from section 106 in the time period and making sure you've got the right projects in the right place.
Carolyn, you had your hand up, did you?
Thank you. I just wanted to give you a little more information on it. In January, every little bit of section 106 was on the computer. All the backlog, everything was in place. It's in a new program now, so that you can go in and just put Eccleshaw Ward and it will print off anything that is section 106 that could be spent in that area. That doesn't mean everything's allocated, because there could be 20,000 sitting in Eccleshaw for a swimming pool, when of course you've got to wait until you've got millions to get to a swimming
pool.
So that will sit there forever, which would then register as, you know, this is needing to be spent. But it would never, until we had some huge development like
Westbridge Park.
Yeah. Well, that's go on,
something like that. And so there will always be outstanding, so to speak. But as far as money that we can spend and money that we can allocate, it's absolutely up to scratch. It really is. They've done an amazing job on this of bringing it all and. But we do have then things like, back to Brendan McEwen, in one of his villages, there's £200,000 there, sat there for them to spend, which should have gone on a football pitch and a car parking. But the parish can't agree on what they're doing there. And so it goes back and forward and back and forward, and then they change parish councillors, and then it comes in again. And in fact, Brendan had a meeting with two of the parish councillors here today, because we're like, you need to get this spent, you need to get started, and they can't agree between them. So it does make it difficult, and when you're dealing with some of the parishes, but Sally McDonald and Jenny Bolton are all over this now. They really are on top of it, which I'm very happy about.
Well, can I also ask, was it a fact that councillors were going to be notified of 106 and money that was available for the awards?
Yeah, they have been. Ralph, you could ask Ralph, there was money in his area that needed to be spent, and they got in touch and he's now spending it. And there was money in Horton, I do believe, and a bid in Doxy, and we had to sort of grab the councillors and say, you need to spend this, where can we spend it? So it does happen the other way around as well, if there's money that needs to go out. But the next project is Bassage, and so that's where we're at the minute. And if you think back to when the police headquarters started, so if we're on that already, it wasn't that long ago that the police headquarters was, the money was coming in. Mm-hmm. So we are really ahead of it now.
Right. Was there any other questions?
If I may, Chair, I've managed to find the report while members have just been discussing it. At the time we did our review, and this was significantly lower than the figure when the first review was done. So at the time of the audit, there was £6,981.32 that we felt was at risk of being clawed back, which is quite a small sum at that point in time, but had been, at the time of the officer working group starting, had been significantly higher. So there is evidence within that it was improving even at that stage, even though we had got that amount at risk. I think it's something like 2% of the fund at that time. I think we worked out there was about 3.7 million section 106 money at that point in time, of which just under 7,000 was at risk. So most of it was allocated.
And I think that was Ralph's actually, or that could have been the allotments, and that's been spent as well. Both have been.
Right. Yeah. Can I just ask? Yes. You talking about there's a computer system now?
Yes.
I mean, can members look at it, or is it
yes.
just for accountants?
Yeah, yeah. If you just say to Sally or Jenny, you know, what is there in my ward that's coming up?
I mean, I don't think we've got any log on from home.
Oh no, yeah. No. You have to ask Jenny or Sally.
Yeah, you would have to be in the building.
No, you just send Jenny or Sally an email and say
so how much money have I
been spending? Councillors themselves can't access that.
No.
I think that's what
you can. Yes, no. Exactly. Yeah. That's fine. Thank you.
But it all connects to the planning process now, so the whole thing links up, so it happens almost automatically. It's a much better system.
Are there any other questions for Stephen on this? Just reassure me again then, Stephen, that although there are some of these outstanding, or there are these recommendations here, and you are assuring us then that your recommendations will in actual fact be followed up, and that that will in actual fact come back to the audit committee. There's no point in raising our concerns and then we voice them and then that's the end of the matter.
That's fine. And yes, Jack, the follow-ups will all come through. As I say, we generally do them roughly 6 months. Sometimes it's longer depending on what the nature is. And as I mentioned, there is one at Appendix 4 which we haven't covered in the summary, which unfortunately hasn't progressed as far as we would have liked and has remained a partial assurance, which is around critical information systems not supported by IT, and that's still at a partial assurance, although they have done two out of the three recommendations. They have implemented two out of the three. They are that individual audit can't progress any further until the IT strategy has been updated, and that is a piece of work that is being carried out at the moment by officers, so that's interlinked with another audit area.
Right, okay then, Roy.
Yeah, last year we had to carry forward some of the old audits, right? So I understand the 109%. We've got 22 for this year. Are they all going to be completed, or are we going to carry forward some of these?
The way it is looking at the moment, and we are getting close to the end of the year, there will be a number of audits that perhaps aren't totally finalised in the year. There may be one or two that we look at and are carried forward into next year's plan as a matter of course anyway, so some of the audits feature regularly. So our target is always to try and achieve 90% of the plan at the start of the year. Now, as work changes, it might mean that one audit drops off and then another one replaces it, but we try and achieve 90% of the amount of work that we plan to do at the start of the year. I would say that we are on track to achieve above the 90% this year, and there won't be anything of concern that is left. And I will, in the annual report, I do always tell members about any audits that we had planned to do that have been dropped or any that have been swapped out. If there's any significant changes mid-year as well, they feature in this update.
Dare I ask which ones you think might go into next year? I wonder whether IT is going to appear on your list again.
We have two IT audits in progress at the moment, which I would expect to complete. There are two which I am not sure we will get done by the time we do the annual report and by the end of that financial year. That's not to say that the problem with that is fully IT. It is also partly due to scheduling of our contractors, because we don't do the technical work in-house. And when things slip or things get changed, it gives them a bit of a problem scheduling as well. So there is a combination of issues, and again, some of that will impact on the general audits as well, that sometimes scheduling of our staff, the external support that we buy in and departments, doesn't quite work, and some things just have to slip a little. But as I say, generally we will for the Stafford plan be completing, I would suggest, above the 90% and getting close to that 100% or more with the carry forward from last year. And certainly we will be covering enough to give you an adequate assurance on the governance arrangements, which is the purpose of the annual report.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Right then, members were being asked to note this progress report.
So noted, Madam Chairman.
Right. Thank you. Moving on then, please. Right then, this is yourself again.
Okay, this is my report again, and this is looking forward to next year's work, and this is our plan for the internal audit work for 23-24. I'll come back to the recommendation towards the end of that, because there is an element we do need to just pick up on it. But in terms of the work, as in previous years, I've done an assessment of the resources available in the team, what we've got for internal audit work after we've taken out things like training, holidays, sickness. And there is a full summary, a detailed summary of that breakdown at the end of the report at Appendix 1, which sets out our resources. As members can see there, we've got the in-house resource and we are still buying in some general audit and IT audit. The IT audit is brought in for the technical skills that we don't have in-house. The general support is covering a senior auditor that we've had vacant for a few years. And as members of the committee who've been with us a while will recall, we are deliberately keeping that vacant at the moment, partly through the not ideal market out there to recruit. We've tried unsuccessfully a couple of times to recruit. But also we took on an apprentice a couple of years ago, and we are hoping that within a few years he may be able to progress into that senior auditor post, and we can start again training up in-house. So whilst it's not an ideal position to be in, because we are sometimes subject to their scheduling rather than having full control, it is helping us through a backlog, and we pay them on a piecework basis, essentially. It doesn't matter how long it takes them to do the audit, they agree a fee, and we pay when we get that draft report from them. So it's a known entity that we are paying. As members can see at the bottom of that, we have a total of 786 chargeable days, and that is then allocated across the audits, and there is a bit more of a breakdown of detail at 5.5 of the agenda in terms of how we split that up. That's page 15 of the agenda. That covers 425 days that we put down to the audit plan. So we do some chargeable work that isn't actual audits, whether that's advice, consultancy, some planned work on things like the National Fraud Initiative and other pieces of work. So members can see that we have that 425 days allocated across audits that will only be for Stafford, audits that will only be for Cannock Chase, an IT audit element, and a piece of work that we are doing for IHL, which is Cannock's leisure provider. Now, we do 45 days work for them in the plan at the moment, for which we receive an income from that. So whilst it reduces our resources slightly, we are getting an income for that, and we have used that this year for the purchase of an audit management piece of software that will hopefully improve our efficiency and reduce some of the cutting and pasting between the Word documents that we currently do. The reason I'm flagging that up now is part of the recommendation is for members of this committee to note that we are supporting Cannock's leisure provider with that in return for a fee. And we're asking this committee to essentially endorse that approach. And that because it does have an impact on the overall days that we have for the audit plan. In terms of the rest of the report, there is the detail in there at Appendix 2 for the audits that we are doing. Now, with the change and the closer sharing of services between the two councils, I have changed the way that I present the report coming to this committee and Cannock's committee as well. So the plan at Appendix 2 is our full general audit plan for the year. It does list the audits for Cannock Chase as well as Stafford Borough. Where we can, we're trying to do the audits side by side where they're still separate teams. So as you can see, there's a table on the right hand side that says whether it's a Cannock audit or a Stafford audit. Majority of the work we are going to do side by side, so will be both councils. There are a few areas where there are very unique Stafford elements that we want to look at, and that's marked off. And then there are some that are uniquely Stafford, particularly because Stafford has its housing stock still. We have to put some resources into reviewing that. So Cannock has the housing stock still. We have to put some resources into that separately from the plan, so they are seen as Cannock only elements. To assist members, I've tried to grey out the boxes where they relate to Cannock only. I'm not really going to dwell on anything that we have put in, as particular members have had the chance to read through, but I am happy to answer any questions on the plan. And the recommendation of the report is that we're seeking approval for members to approve that work plan for internal audit. The one thing I will say is that we haven't yet done an IT audit plan for 23-24 yet. There were a number of factors of that. One, as we've briefly covered, we still have a little bit of work to do for this year. But secondly, and I think more importantly, it's been about 5 years since we did a detailed IT audit needs assessment, where we look at everything that we can audit, risk assess that, and come up with a detailed plan on what we want to do and what the important things are. IT changes all the time, and 5 years is quite a long time. So before I do pull that plan together, I want to spend a little bit of our resources that we buy in to get the contractors to do a needs assessment for us and to refresh that. And then we will bring the IT plan to this committee for approval.
Well, thank you for that. I'll come to Ian first, to his hand up, and then Roy.
Thanks, Chair. I think there are about 30 audit areas identified on those three pages there. Could you just take us through the process that's used to come up with those areas, who's involved, and
how
they decide?
Through you, Chair. In terms of the audit plan, there's a number of steps that we go through. We have the lowest level, really, is that there is something we refer to as the audit universe, which is quite a grand name for it, but essentially it's a list of all areas that I have identified that we can audit. So it will list, some of it is council departments, it will be unique functions. Sometimes we will lump things together to make it a meaningful piece of work. So I have done that exercise, and we roll that forward year on year and reassess it in terms of that. We will risk assess some of those elements and try and work out which we think are the highest priority in terms of that. The second phase that I go through is really an information gathering exercise to reality check the audit universe, but also to seek the views. And that is, we have a meeting with each of the heads of service to discuss their areas and to see what they have as suggestions. And that includes meeting with Tim as chief exec as well, and we seek input from section 151 officers as well. So we talk to senior officers about what their views are, what could be changing, what they think are the risky areas in there. This year as well, because we're going through the shared services and there's going to be quite a lot of changes going on at the council, we have identified a number of audits on this plan that are unique to that exercise, so we're treating those as a bit like a project management type exercise. How are we managing this project? How are we making sure we've got the right governance arrangements in place? Things like scheme of delegations, needs updating, officers' ability to do certain things that councils will need looking at. We also want to make sure we've got correct practices across the two councils, because they are different at the moment. What are we going to do about trying to streamline some of those, bring things together? How are we going to deal with all of that, really? So that, again, is a big risk area for the council, so we are devoting time to it. And likewise, we pick some other big projects out there. So the last few years, we've had an element of time to look at the town centre regeneration type projects, things like Meath Group that's coming on board, Station Gateway. We will put some time in there just to see how those projects are going as well. So it's a number of sort of evidence gathering. It's a little bit of my ear to the ground, trying to find out what's happening. It's using the senior officers as a benchmark, and then we come up with this list that we think are the highest risk areas to do. Years ago, there was a sort of approach that we tried to do everything in a 4-year cycle or 5-year cycle, which became unmanageable and became a bit of a you tended to find that things were in year five, you'd rejig it and couldn't fit them in, so they go to year five again. So actually, quite a few years back now, probably about 8 years ago now, we took the radical decision that we were going to scrap that, along with sort of advice on what our peers are doing, and just do a risk assessment every year and look at what we've got and say, right, these are the biggest areas this year, this is what we're going to look at. We're going to have to accept that some things are never going to be looked at. Some things, if the situation changes, might make it onto the list 1 year, but then may not make it back again. Mm. So it is that a bit of science, a bit of finger in the air guesswork, but it is that informed decision making, using as many sources as possible.
So is this being shown for information or for comment?
This is, the audit committee has to approve the audit plan for the year. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to question why things are on there. You can ask me if you want me to reconsider the plan as set down, and I can go away and think about things, or you can ask me to justify why something is on there or why something isn't, and we can do that. But ultimately, the committee has to approve the plan that I have put forward.
You're not just noting this.
Yes, I know.
It's our responsibility.
I was trying to get it absolutely clear in my mind, really.
No, the recommendation is quite clear there, that we are approving what is being put forward to us.
But it's also the role for the outside, the external body looking inside, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, in a way, we've got a role that's a bit similar to NED's non-exec directors in organisations, scrutinising, advising, etc. And it's how that is actually carried out in practice. That's what I was getting at. Yeah. Okay.
If I may, Chair, to clarify that, I think your role is to make sure we've got the right governance arrangements, the controls, the risk management, the operation of our function. So what we will try and do with the report we've looked at, we think these are the ones that are going to give you the most assurance and the biggest risk areas that you can place assurance on those that they're working right, and then as a committee you're comfortable in terms of putting forward that view in when it comes to approving things like the annual governance statement at the year end. So this is, it all sort of builds up into that. The audit plan gives me the workload to give you an annual opinion on how well I think things are working at the council in terms of the governance arrangements and the control framework. You then use that to sign off the annual governance statement and sign off that it is an accurate document. And it's your role to question if things aren't working right in terms of that. It's not to scrutinise the policy, but it's the mechanics of how we work.
Yeah, no, I'm coming to Roy and then Roy next, please.
Following on from me, and I was going to ask, okay, this is a first stab, or not necessarily a first stab, but you've looked at this quite carefully. Now, if at a subsequent meeting we find that some of these things either are not relevant or there are other things coming along which are more relevant, then this can be changed, correct?
Yes, yeah, the audit plan can be changed at any time, and there is, as I say, when we tried to bring a plan for 4 years or 5 years and say, right, we're going to do that in year three, actually that's a very long time. Nowadays, actually, if we're sitting down in as I've been doing this, I've been working probably since January through to end of Feb by the time I've produced this report to go through the cycle to get it on the agenda. If you're thinking we're planning work that we may be doing next March, that is a very long time, and things can change and this can change. So although this is set in stone, it is changeable, and if we do feel the need, this committee will be informed and approve the changes as we go through.
I move we accept the report. Madam Chairman.
Peter, did you want to leave?
No, I was just saying Mark had his hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, don't forget, we've got the major risk register for the council, which has got about 10 major risks, and this is coming back to what I think Ian was saying. And it's those risks which I would assume that this is out to monitor.
It is about those risks and other areas as well. So so the
well, those
strategic
are the
risk
priority
register.
I would.
if we were to pick up the risk register, you would like to think that every item on the risk register, we will be trying to look at some element of audit work where it is possible. Where not, we may need to be looking at other assurance providers to give us those elements. So if you look at the risk register, we've got a major risk on there about regeneration. We've got some of the projects on there. We've got a risk around council's financial resources. Yeah. We're looking at what we're doing for shared services. We're looking at the general ledger. We're looking at treasury management, I think, is suggested in here. So we're looking at elements in there that all feed into those risks. So it is all interlinked, the internal audit plan, the risk register, and all the key governance frameworks out there. So we'd be checking the through some of the work that we're following the right procurement, we're following the financial regs in terms of we're doing things right. So it should really give you that overall picture. If you look at the risk register, you look at our insurance work.
Carolyn.
Before I say anything, am I allowed to ask a question? I'm
it
not
depends
sure if
what
I
ask.
If there's a question on this, that's all. And then I think, but I'm not part of the committee, so I wasn't sure if I could actually ask a question.
You may ask a question.
Thank you. You mentioned something like 40 hours of work going to ICT, the leisure facility in Canada,
yes,
from your audit committee, but you also said that you're short of auditors, in a sense. Are we making money from that, the amount of time that the auditors are spending on it, or is it exactly the cost of how much time your auditors are spending on it? Because to me, that bit didn't quite make sense. So sorry for asking a question.
But that's one of the questions I
mean, in terms of the work that we spend, we out of 425 audit days that we have identified across all the work that we do, we are doing 45 days for the leisure provider at Canon. We do get an income from that, and at the moment, it is a figure that I believe we're not losing out on. It's a figure we're ploughing into resources, and we're not having to buy in anything extra. We're not buying in any extra to cover those days or anything else. We're using our own sort of internal resource to do that and to generate income that we wouldn't have if we didn't do that. Now, of course, there's the converse of that we are losing a few days off the audit plan, but in that grand scheme of things, the 45 days against 420, 650 days, the 425 is the audits across the two councils. So out of 650 total days, we're spending 45.
Okay,
so
you.
It is a very
thank
small percentage.
Yeah. I want actually to come back on that because 5.2, you mentioned that you do ask our external auditors to comment. Do they ever do that?
They
bearing in mind, and I'm coming on to that, I want to mention it yet again, we have not seen external auditors here in Stafford since last April. We haven't heard, we as a committee, the last time they actually appeared here was, if I can find a bit of paper.
I was going to say, if I may check,
the 21st of April last year, and you're mentioning here that you and ask them to comment. I'd be staggered if they even comment whenever they can't even come to our meetings or even send in a comment to us.
I think Chris can comment wider on the external order element, but I will also answer your question as well.
In terms of the external orders, I've met them 3 times since I joined the authority. So they are very engaged with us. Avatar's their lead. We trained together. We came through Sitford College, so we've known each other a long time.
Was that socially, or is it actually?
No, this is work.
On a professional.
No, this is professional.
This is work.
Yeah, yeah. So he's very engaged with us on this one. The issue we have is the accounts here have not been submitted. We're over a year late on the accounts. So from their perspective, if they to engage more.
Excuse me. Thank you.
So if there was a, for them perspective, until we submit the draft accounts for the last year, there's not a lot for them to do. There isn't a sector update they can do. They can't update us on progress because they haven't got our accounts. I spoke to Emma, and I wouldn't want this necessarily published at this point, but we will have our accounts in the next few weeks. We will put them on the website. We won't be getting a statutory notice or anything like that at this point. Then Grant Thornton will be coming on site. They've asked if they can come earlier, so maybe mid-June they'll start auditing us. Then we'll be back up to speed and you'll start seeing them a lot more regularly. But they just haven't got anything from us to comment on at this point.
I'm just interested because I have to fill in a survey. you probably had it as well.
Yes.
I just feel that it's giving me so much thought in trying to fill it in to send back to the LGE. And I think to myself, as far as I'm concerned, they're a waste of space.
But you know, to come back on that, I filled it in a similarly scathing fashion. Not because necessarily of this, but the amount of audit days that we get, the amount of time that we have with them, and the amount we try to turn around when they're with us. I haven't worked with this team, so I don't know them. Mm. So it was more difficult for me to pass a comment, but in the past, they push a lot of pressure into my teams rather than picking up the audits themselves. And it's always been a very tricky relationship to balance. So I'm hoping that familiarity will lead to a better working relationship in this one. But that remains to be seen for me. I sincerely hope so.
Right, thank you for that, Chris. I also want to come back on this because it does give me cause for concern as well. You know, on 5.6, you're telling us that the resources available for the year are considered sufficient. And then you go on, enough work to adequately inform. Those two words really give me grave cause for concern, Steve. Especially whenever you look at this and see that, you know, you're doing all this extra work for a Cannock Chase as leisure provider, and you're also doing work for another company. You know, you say that you're contracting yourselves out, and yet we're having comments like that about the staff that we've got. You know,
when
you're talking about bringing in agency staff, if all this work wasn't being done and you were concentrating on Cannock Chase District Council and Stafford Borough Council, would we need to bring in agency staff?
If I may check, we don't contract ourselves out generally. We are doing the 45 days for Inspiring Healthy Lifestyles, the leisure provider at Cannock.
Yes.
And that is the only external work that we do. We have contractors who support the resource that we have, so they are essentially filling in the numbers because we have a vacancy in our team. So we would either have a person in that post, because we haven't, we are using the contractors to backfill that vacancy essentially. And as I said previously, we have tried to recruit unsuccessfully. The market out there for experienced senior internal auditors is very difficult. We don't compete well in terms of the pay that we offer to external firms, the private sector firms. But actually, talking to our contractors who are a mid-tier accountancy firm, a larger firm, they have a base in Birmingham, and they are actually losing staff and struggling to retain staff. They are able to pay better than we are because they are losing out to other firms and private sector bodies out there who are able to pay higher, particularly in the Birmingham area. So unfortunately the market isn't great for us to fill in that senior post. We're doing the best that we can in terms of getting the consultant, the contractors in to do the work on this piecework basis. So we don't pay them as an agency day to day, we pay them for a piece of work to be completed. And sometimes that has its advantages. We've done a number of audits where they've brought expertise from outside and shared their skills and shared learning from other areas. As you're aware, I have two hats when I come to this committee. So I have the chief internal auditor hat, bringing the internal audit work. I also look after the risk management, which is separate.
Yes.
As members will see, we've got risk management audit on the audit plan for this year. Now, actually, I'm then compromised in that. So as chief auditor, I can't really audit independently the risk management. So by having the contractors in place already, I can give that piece of work to them, I can step back and become the client, and I can get another member of my team to act as a reviewer and a liaison with them from the audit side. And I actually almost get a taste of my own medicine, and I get audited by somebody who can do it independently, because I'm compromised. If one of my internal members did it and I'm supervising them, it's not going to be a fair picture. So it does have some advantages as well.
I feel that you've been telling us for quite some time now, Steve, about this business that you've been carrying. Can you give us any kind of assurance that this situation will not be a detrimental effect on Stafford Borough Council, and when do you think the situation might improve?
In terms of when it might improve, I'm not sure in the current climate, in the current market out there, that it will improve. I don't have confidence that we could go out within the next few years and attract a suitable candidate to fill that as a senior auditor. As I said before, the long-term plan is to grow our own staff, and we had just before lockdown, so he started February 2020, we took on an apprentice who has finished his apprenticeship now. He's got he's part qualified with the Institute of Internal Auditors with their professional qualification, and I am hoping that he will build up in the next couple of years sufficient skills and experience in the job to be able to promote him internally, potentially into that senior post, and potentially put him through the remainder of the training to become fully qualified and to become an effective senior auditor, and then we'll fill at the bottom again. So it is, unfortunately, it's a slow exercise, but it's the only plan at the moment that we have within the current market.
And it wasn't helped because of the sort of working from home, etc. It wasn't wholly satisfied.
Yeah.
But I'm going to come to you, Chris, just in a moment. Is there no scope then for you to actually have another apprentice, you know, to try and bring in someone again and train them?
There is, Chair. I'm waiting at the moment for this person to move up into the senior to get that little bit more experience. As I say, he's not where I would have liked him to be pretty much 3 years down the line from starting, because he lost a fair chunk of practical experience in the first year. So I'm hoping within the next couple of years he may well have that experience, and we can promote him and take him in again, and actually to give the whole team a bit of a breather. When you take an apprentice on, particularly somebody with no skills in the field, it does take that little bit of extra work, and impacts the plan, not only their training time but everybody else in the team supporting them. So I think we're giving ourselves a little bit of breathing space, and we will then start again.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a question? Isn't there a problem, having been in recruitment with apprentices in the past years ago, that when he gets trained up and looks in the papers to see what other people are paying,
we
chain him in a cellar somewhere or something?
Well,
you should have some kind of contract where they're obliged to stay for that.
If we do post-entry training, we do have some aspect where we can claw it back. If we use the apprenticeship levy, we can't do that legally in the same way that we used to with the post-entry training. But likewise, we're not directly paying. We're using the apprentice levy to fund the training. There is always that risk. And the reason I ended up at Cannock was exactly that. I was 12 months qualified. There was a manager job going that I applied for and got. So you did it. I did it, so I know. And so did most of the people I know. It's the way, in Staffordshire, it's the way you used to work, but unfortunately everybody's in the same boat.
So you're sure again. I mean, is it just a problem of money? Are we just not paying enough? I mean, you give them another 10,000 a year, would they stay? Well, I don't know, I mean.
So are you going to fund
it? Money, we're never going to get there, are we? That's all I think.
Yeah, the money isn't the only factor. There isn't a large number of experienced internal auditors out there.
Like quite planners.
Quite a lot are experienced in other ways because they've been doing the job a long time and are looking more for retirement and other things are moving on. There are people like me who moved up, and as I say, when I moved up, there was quite a lot of movement. I'm probably one of the last who's qualified and come into a manager position in the county in that way, and then through cost savings, restructures, shared services and various other things, everybody's team shrunk, so there's been less opportunity. So, and there's been a lack of training over that period, so it's all of those things.
I was just thinking, in 2 years' time, if he leaves, Steve's going to be tearing his hair out, but the notice has already been that
space. Yeah, so unfortunately, I know most of the other chief auditors in the near, and it's almost a bit of an unwritten rule that we do know that sometimes people will go. And as I say, Judith still hasn't lived it down with my old boss for poaching me all those years ago. So I'm conscious. I know Chris wanted to say something, Chair.
Chris, you've been very patient.
It's just on the back of that, really. With the training contracts, I mean, I've been locked into a number over my career, but my next employer will just buy me out. So you don't gain anything by trying to lock them in. Even with the golden handcuffs, they will just throw money to move you across. You gain nothing by getting that cash. You've lost the training. So unfortunately, you can't bind anyone to any kind of contract now if they want them. And in terms of filling that post, because of what the government's done with the audit market, GT stepping back, we've got all these big new entrants coming in, like Azettes. They've got to scale up their departments.
Yeah.
They're poaching from not just Grant Thornton, but they're poaching from authorities. So that's not going to get better in the next 18 months, 2 years, where they build an audit function that doesn't currently exist. Because we have Azettes coming to us.
Yes, we have, yeah.
That doesn't exist. Another colleague of mine's taken over as a director there. She's been told, just go and build a department at any cost. There's no way we could ever compete with instructions like that. So it is build our own, as you say, train them up.
I think just to follow up what Chris said there, I can remember when, around the time the contracts were announced and made public, that Azettes had won this share, in this region, there were adverts that a few days later in all of the sort of sector press saying, we're advertising for directors pretty much every level to build this function up. I believe they have got experience in the market, but it is in Scotland rather than in the UK, so we've got to wait and see. But likewise, with these things, a new firm comes in, but some of the names stay the same. People move because if Grant Thornton haven't got the work in the West Midlands that they did have, people want to work here, they'll move to the new firm. And we've seen it a lot of times with firms out there.
Right, any other points? Right then, I'm going to ask you all then to approve the internal audit plan for 23-24 and note that this includes a small amount of work undertaken on behalf of Cannock Chase DC's leisure provider, which will bring in income that will be shared across both councils.
So moved, Madam Chairman.
Right, the seconder. Because I feel this is really important that you are in fact approving this, I'm going to ask for a show of hands, please.
One, two, three, four, five. You in favour? Unanimous then, thank you.
Unanimous. Okay then, that's fine. Nice. Thank you very much. So that in actual fact concludes the agenda. And I think all that remains for me is to say that this is our last audit committee meeting.
Just where you break out the